Later on in the program, Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts. Actually, I think Robert Knott will be with us speaking of the arts, sitting in for Rob DeWalt. Right now, I'd like to welcome Linda Siegel. It is time once again, ladies and gentlemen, for the legislative session, and Linda Siegel is with us every year doing a legislative update, and this is our legislative preview. Welcome.
Yes, good morning, Mary Charlotte. I'm so glad to be back.
It's
I love
great
doing
to have
these.
You. Good, I'm so glad. We love having you, and the public loves listening to these legislative updates because you tell us things that we would not otherwise know in a kind of up-to-the-minute way. Now, this is what's called a 30-day session, which means that it's only about the budget and the 5 gazillion other things besides the budget that they decide to introduce.
Yes. Well, by the Constitution, a 30-day session is just to deal with the budget, but governors have the ability to put bills on the call, which means they can put any issue that they want to up for review by the legislature. And it looks like Governor Martinez is following in Bill Richardson's footsteps because he used to have very aggressive 30-day agendas, and it looks like she's going to have one too.
Well, let's talk first about the budget, and then let's talk about the other bills that might be introduced. The budget. Now, we've been doing this, you and I, for so long that we've gone through the ups and the downs, and in the up times, we had more money than we needed, and the question was whether to save it for a rainy day or give it back to the taxpayers. Now, and then we went through, like, horrible, what would you call it, budget shortfalls, and do we tax more or do we do with less? Where are we now?
Well, we're actually on an upswing, as you were saying. In 2008, we had a $6.1 billion budget, and at the bottom, which was last year, we were down to about 5.4. So this year, we actually have about $250 million of new revenue, and that's because certain revenue generators are up, like gross receipts taxes and gas and oil. In New Mexico, as we've talked about many times, we rely heavily on gas and oil revenue. In fact, for every dollar increase in a barrel of gas, New Mexico gets $4 million of tax revenue. So when gas is up, we're doing well, and it's even more with natural gas, because for every 10 cents that natural gas increases, we get $10 million or more of revenue. So those factors are up, and we've got some money to spend.
Very interesting. And so, I mean, I think it's worth just mentioning in the background that those are the kind of things that are so here one day, gone the next, because gas runs out. And at some point, it will be completely gone, or they'll be trying to get those last 4 drops out of the deep, deep rocks. But anyway, the $250 million that we now have, what is the discussion about what to do with that? Does it just go into the budget to pay for things that we would have a deficit on otherwise?
Well, the legislature has to appropriate that money. And, of course, the way we do budgets in New Mexico is the governor, through the Department of Finance Administration, they develop a budget. And then the legislature, through the Legislative Finance Committee, they develop a budget. So on day one, actually it's started this week, even though the session doesn't start till Tuesday, the budget committees have already been meeting, going through the various budgets and looking at, well, here's what the governor proposes and here's what the legislature proposes.
And it's unusual to have a state where the executive branch proposes a budget that is negotiated with the legislature, isn't it?
Well, it's unusual where there are two budgets proposed. Oftentimes, the governor will just propose the budget, and then the legislature will react to it, or vice versa. So we have a unique situation here. And there are some similarities. The $250 million, the governor wants about $55 million of that to go to tax cuts. The legislature, in their budget, would like to appropriate all of that money and try to reinstate some of the things that have been cut over the last few years, including public education and higher education and our safety net services, child care and domestic violence and health clinics and those kinds of programs that have been cut. And of course, we have to address Medicaid, and both the governor's budget and the legislature's budget increase Medicaid. The governor increases it about $42 million, and the legislature proposes to increase it about $34 million. So there's a lot of differences in where the money would go from both of those budgets, and that's what will be worked out in the next 30 days.
With the help of the public at all? Is it pretty much out of our hands?
No, the public has a duty, I think, to go in there and tell legislators what they would like, and also tell the governor. And of course, we've talked about the many ways people can do that by getting on the website and looking up things and calling their member of the delegation. You know, Senator Peter Wirth and Brian Egoff, Representative Brian Egoff, they held a town hall just Wednesday night in El Dorado, and they're very accessible. And our other legislators, Representative Jim Trujillo, Representative Lucky Varela, Senator Nancy Rodriguez, Senator Phil Griego, you can contact their offices or email them and say, you know, I'd like to see money spent in this area, or I don't want any tax cuts right now, or I do want tax cuts right now.
I have to say, as we say every year, the New Mexico legislative website is excellent. So if you look up NM Legislature on your search engine, you will find a very easy-to-access website, and you can find the bills, you can find the emails and phone numbers of your legislators, you can find their pictures, you can really find out what's going on. Somebody somewhere did a very good job.
Yes, it's a wonderful tool, which 20 years ago we did not have.
Indeed. So moving on from the budget to the bills, what's on? What's up?
Well, we know, since the governor is the one who determines what bills will be on, we've already heard through her press releases and discussions at different events that she goes to, that she wants to bring the repeal of the immigrant driver's license back.
Not again.
So that will be on her call. And, of course, there will be the compromise bill proposed by probably Senator Jennings in the Senate. I'm not exactly sure who's going to do it, but our Santa Fe's own Somos Un Pueblo Unido has been working very hard to find a compromise that would strengthen the bill and make sure
strengthen
that
the existing bill?
Existing. Well, it wouldn't necessarily repeal it, just make amendments to the existing bill and to the existing law, and that way some of the concerns that the governor has about perhaps people coming in from other places and getting a New Mexico driver's license, the law would strengthen that and hopefully prevent that, and look at review of those licenses periodically. So the compromise will be discussed heavily.
And we will certainly cover that on this program, as it will be covered elsewhere. What other bills are coming up?
Well, we know that the governor wants to implement some of her education reforms. In the last legislative session, the grading of public schools passed. And in fact, just a week ago or a few days ago, those rankings came out, the A, B, C, D, E, F, not E.
There's no E. A, B, C, D, F. Yeah, and you can... I have to say, I tried to find a list of every school in the state and their ranking, and it's impossible. You
right.
can't do it on their website.
Yeah.
You have to actually go to a map with little teardrop-shaped
yes.
things on it and click on them to see what the school is. It's incredibly... It's like whoever designed that didn't go to one of the A schools. I'm sorry.
Well, that is implemented, and what they want to do is appropriate some money. What the governor's proposing is appropriate some money to help then those schools that aren't A, B, or even C schools improve. So that's going to be on the agenda. The bill that failed last year, which was the no social promotion by the third grade if you can't read, that bill will be reintroduced, and the governor will be asking for some money to then help those students with mentoring or after-school classes or whatever. Something, if you're going to hold somebody back, you've got to make sure that you're helping them proceed. And just yesterday, as you may have seen, Representative Rick Mieta, who is the chair of the House Education Committee, and some other legislators have their own bill addressing the third grade reading issue, which I haven't looked at the details of that, but certainly will be a little different than the governor's proposal.
Have they thought about actually just teaching kids to read in the first and second grade?
There's that. Well, I know from my own experience with my nephew, who comes to stay with us every summer. He lives in Arizona, but he's now in the ninth grade and can't really read very well. So we've been helping him with tutors and all of that, but he certainly hasn't gotten that in his school district. So it's a problem, and we need to do better in education all over our state.
Yeah, I think aren't we still 48th in the nation?
Yeah, I think we switch places periodically with Mississippi,
yeah.
Who's also at the bottom of the ranking. Now, in higher education, the Higher Education Department has been working on a new, quote, funding formula for how colleges and universities will be funded. And though the legislature doesn't have to approve that, that's going to be heavily discussed in the budget hearings, because the concept of it is excellent. It's looking at having better outcomes in our higher education institutions, looking at graduation rates and looking at certificates and looking at the types of students that were graduating in the areas of health sciences, math, getting people interested in those and paying schools to get more people into those programs and to graduate them. So conceptually, it's very good. We're at the community college, we're a little concerned about the details, because community colleges do a lot of short-term trainings in educations and have certificate programs, and an employer can come to us and say, I need this program designed, and we'll do it, and it might be a two-week program. So we want to make sure we're going to get paid for those kinds of things from the state. But the funding formula for higher ed is going to be a hot topic. There's a new funding formula being discussed for public education, which would simplify the existing funding formula. Now, the public education funding formula has to be approved by the legislature.
What, I mean, sorry to ask such a dumb question, but what's a funding formula?
That's how government decides how they're going to pay each school for what they do. And it's in the public schools, it's a per student amount.
Ah, okay.
So you get X amount for a student, and that's how you, and then there's other money offered too. So that's the education realm. Then we know she's going to do some crime and DWI bills. She did a press release not too long ago saying that we should do a bill for vehicle seizure for DWI. People who are arrested for DWIs, and also looking at penalty increases for DWI. And certainly DWI is a problem in New Mexico. It has been for many, many years. Legislatures have been trying to address those problems for many years. One of the issues, of course, is that we don't have treatment programs for people that are on their 10th, 11th, 12th, or 2nd DWI even. So that will be a piece of legislation. Also, she's putting on the call background checks for foster parents who are relatives. Children are often placed when they're removed from their biological parents. They may be placed with a relative, and we've never done background checks on the relatives before, and there have been some problems.
There have. So somebody goes to an uncle, and the uncle abuses the little kid.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yep. So that's on the agenda, and there's probably some other crime bills that we haven't heard about yet. In the economic development arena, the governor talked to some business groups just a few days ago and said that she would like $10 million for job training in classrooms and on-the-job training for new businesses that come to New Mexico. Now, we've had this fund for many years. I think even Richardson might have implemented it. And that's a fund that allows a business, a new company who's coming to New Mexico, to say, okay, I'm coming, I want the state to help me. You pay part of the salary of my new employees, and you pay for their training for X number of months, and then we'll stay and keep employing people. Now, some of those businesses haven't worked out and have left, but the governor wants $10 million for that program.
What kind of training are we talking about? Like, can you think of any specific examples?
I can't remember if the that airline, that company that built airplanes, the name is escaping me now, in Albuquerque, that Richardson got here. And so I think we trained some of the technicians that worked in the factory to build those airplane parts. And of course, that went belly up and they're gone. But I suspect there are some successful ones and businesses that are still around.
There's that whole push for green energy job training and things like that. But in order to do that, you have to have green energy jobs promoted.
Right, right. And of course, we do that at the community college, and we've got some new solar plants operating in out of Albuquerque and I think in Torrance County. But until we stop relying on oil and gas, we just seem to not be willing to invest the money in all the, quote, alternative types of energy.
It's one of those things, I mean, it's sort of like watching the Titanic approach the iceberg, you know? It's like the stuff is going to run out. We can only think in terms of election cycle lengths of time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're basically heading off a... change of metaphors here, off a cliff. I mean, oil and gas are going to run out.
Right, and they're going to get more expensive.
And they're going to get way more expensive. And if we don't have wind and solar in place, we are screwed.
Yeah. Well, we're not really doing anything to incentivize that at the moment. One of the hot issues that we have already seen a bill introduced, Representative Jim Trujillo has introduced a constitutional amendment to keep the land grant permanent fund. Now, we have two permanent funds in New Mexico, and one was created when the state was chartered by the United States government, and they allowed us to create this permanent fund to continue to fund public education and some of the colleges and universities. And that fund now has over $10 billion in it. And in 2003, we had a constitutional amendment, and the public voted, because the public has to approve a constitutional amendment that the legislature approves. And the public voted to take a little bit of extra money out of that permanent fund over these last years and put it into public education. But it expires. That little bit of extra money is expiring in a couple of years. So Jim Trujillo has a constitutional amendment to keep us at this amount of 5.8%. When the fund was created, only 4.7% over an average of 5 years would be allocated to these various schools. And we raised it incrementally, and it's at 5.8%. And if we don't pass this constitutional amendment and the public doesn't vote to continue that money, then starting in, it's 2013, I think, we start to incrementally go down and our public schools will be getting less money. So this is...
For first grade reading materials?
yes, everything. And then there's another constitutional amendment to raise it up to 7% to fund early childhood education. Both of those are going to be controversial. Jim Trujillo's bill failed by one vote in the last session.
Yeah.
So there'll be a lot of pressure to pass that.
So we've just got a couple of minutes left. What are you doing, Linda Siegel, this legislative session?
Well, I represent some clients who are those social safety nets and health safety nets. So we're looking at trying to get a little money back into healthcare areas and into domestic violence and child care. And the other issue that's really hot is health insurance exchange. The health insurance exchange, the federal law requires us to have a health insurance exchange by January of 2014, and we probably won't have legislation to do that because the governor's created that using an existing entity, but there's going to be a lot of legislation introduced, which may not be germane, so I'll be following that. I'm always following Medicaid and looking at tax issues and ramifications. Oh, I forgot to mention Peter Wirth's bill to equalized corporate income tax.
Ah, yes.
Yes, across from the board with...
So that if you're a New Mexico corporation, you pay more tax than if you're an out-of-state corporation.
Right, right, and that would equalize that. So we got a lot of interesting legislation.
Lots of interesting legislation.
For a 30-day session.
I have to say, regarding Medicaid, that I have some very good friends who moved here from out of state. They'd made some money. They wanted to have a quieter life. They moved to New Mexico. Within a few years, one of them got brain cancer and the other lost his kidneys. And the only reason, and one of them died, and the other one, the only reason he's alive is because of Medicaid.
Right.
And when they talk about cutting Medicaid, he's like, they want to kill me. And that's the reality for so many people. And I think people who've never used Medicaid or don't know people on it,
right,
don't have any idea that it is life and death.
Absolutely. And the legislature and the governor are not talking about cutting it, but when you expand it, there are going to be thousands of more people eligible for Medicaid over the next 2 years. And so we're going to have to come up with more money, or some kinds of services will have to be cut in Medicaid.
Linda Siegel is with us every Friday during the course of the legislative session with the legislative update, and we may add another one during the week as well as the legislature goes on and there's just more to talk about. Thank you so much for being with us, and we're looking forward to the next 4 weeks.
You're welcome, Mary Charlotte. Thank you.
And I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is with the Pasatiempo and the Santa Fe New Mexican. Pasatiempo is the Friday arts magazine in the New Mexican. Robert Knott is sitting in for Rob DeWalt. Welcome.
Welcome. Where is he?
He is, I think, taking a little break.
Good for him. I wonder if he's in Texas or up in Nebraska this time. What are we doing? What do you need me to do?
What do I need you to do? Talk.
Did you see this ad in the Pasatiempo today for the walk-in bathtubs? Have you ever heard of such a thing?
What?
A walk-in bathtub. I'll find the ad. But in the meantime, tell me. Oh, look. Look at that. A walk-in bathtub.
A walk-in. Oh, I thought you said a walking bathtub.
No, it's a walk-in bathtub, so you walk in. That'd be fun to walk in on somebody in a walk-in bathtub.
Moving right along, we are speaking of the arts.
Okay, what do you know about John Sayles and Lannan?
You tell me.
Well, there's a good piece in Pasatiempo today. John Sayles, the filmmaker, is coming to speak with Francisco Goldman, who...
Oh, they're
American
both wonderful.
Historian. Yeah, and that's going to be Wednesday at 7 at the Lenzik on San Francisco Street.
Excellent.
These things generally sell out. They're very inexpensive. And the phone number is 988-1234. And there's a nice interview with John Sayles in today's Pasatiempo. I think it was done by Michael Wade Simpson. If I'm wrong about that, I apologize.
Francisco Goldman is an absolutely terrific writer.
Well, he's going to be the moderator, so it should be an interesting thing. And Sayles sometimes writes books. People don't realize that in between the screen.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
It's Michael Wade Simpson who wrote it. If you're into retro music, there's a couple options. Listen to this. Remember Rosemary Clooney?
No.
How could you not? She doesn't know Rosemary. At least, if nothing else, she's in that sappy movie White Christmas, even though it's terrible. It is terrible, even though everybody watches it. She just didn't have screen presence, but she had a great voice. She sang great tunes. I think she sang Come On to My House, which is a really fun tune if you go really fast to it and you're a little, you know, inebriated. Anyway, Catherine Donovan is going to be singing tunes from the Rosemary Clooney songbook in the show called Rosie. Everything's coming up, Rosie. It's going to be at 7:30 Saturday and 2 o'clock Sunday at the Santa Fe Playhouse on DeVargas Street. There's a minimum donation listed at the door. Call 986-1801 for reservations. And again, that's Rosemary Clooney fans. That's 7:30 Saturday, 2 p.m. Sunday with the wonderful Catherine Donovan giving us some Rosemary Clooney tunes.
Excellent.
Now, let's say you're more into the Beatles. Na 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 na. Anyway, the Nowhere Band, named after one of their tunes, I think. That's Nowhere Man, I think. But anyway, never mind that. They're going to be playing out in El Dorado at the Performance Space on Caliente Road at 7 o'clock Saturday. And I guess they're going to be doing Beatle tunes. So it's Bob Curtis and Paul Marcus and Evelyn and Tim Taylor on guitars, keyboards, harmonica, accordion, recorder, tambourine, and electric sitar.
Electric sitar?
Yeah.
Sitar. Nice.
Yeah, you know that. Sitar rhymes with guitar, you know that?
If you say so, or if you say it that way.
It's 7 o'clock Saturday out there in El Dorado. Here's a phone number. 310-3828. Now, the strange thing is, all these things are like Saturday night at 7 or 7:30, and unfortunately, so is the New Mexico Women's Chorus. Not unfortunately because they're performing, but unfortunately because they're up against the Beatles and Rosemary Clooney. Nonetheless, they're going to be doing Hidden Gems, songs you're sorry you never heard. That already intrigues me.
That's very interesting.
Although I'm the sort of guy that would go to like a show that was like, songs you're sorry you have heard from the 1970s, you know? I'd show for that, you know?
Well, if you Google worst songs of the 70s, there are many, many, many websites.
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. You mean to say you've done this? You?
I've done it. In fact, I stayed up half the night with a friend singing these songs.
I'd like to stay up half the night with you doing something else, but never mind that. Was Julie, Julie, Julie on that? Julie, Julie, Julie.
Probably.
Julie,
there were some good songs on the list of worst songs in the 70s, but there were some really bad ones that I wish I hadn't remembered. And I'll tell you what, after that night of staying up half the night singing those songs, I never want to hear any of them ever again, as long as I live, so help me dog.
I want you to tell me your favorite song from the 70s while I finish this listing for Hidden Gems, the New Mexico Women's Chorus. It's 7 o'clock Saturday. It's going to be at the Center for Spiritual Living on Camino de los Marques, and you got to pay to get in. You can get advance tickets at Café Orlé on Sabios Road. You can Google NM, as in New Mexico, womenschorus.org. It's a little more less expensive for those under 12 and for students with ID. So a lot of options Saturday night.
Excellent. Now I'm just going through my calendar file here, and I see that on Wednesday, January 18th at 7:30 at the Santa Fe Performance Exchange, Laura Cortese's acoustic project. Laura Cortese on fiddle, Maria Vandersteel on fiddle, and Valerie Thompson on cello. For more information, sfpx.org.
Now let's say you're dying to fall in love, but you don't really want to deal with a human being right now. And if you know what I'm talking about, then believe me.
Then get a dog.
You know what I'm talking about. The Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society is having free adoptions because certain groups, people, and schools have helped to sponsor homeless animals, so the adoption fee is paid. If you want to find out more, you can head out to the animal shelter on Caje del Rio Road, and I called my dog Rio, so that's funny, or call 983-4309. And just remember, there's cats, dogs, bunnies, there might be even duckies, llamas, and alpacas. Is that what you call them?
Alpacas?
Are they like the cousins of the llama?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what they look like.
They look like llamas.
They do, but they're called
Only they make better sweaters.
They can sew and knit?
Uh-huh.
Those animals are amazing.
Hey, I think I have, an announcement about an animal. Take the chill off winter. Cuddle up with a kitty companion, that are both spelled with K in this email. Adopted from Felines and Friends, a local rescue organization. And this week's featured cat is Este. Este and her littermates were rescued near Smith's on Cerrillos Road here in Santa Fe. She's playful and adorable. She would do best as an only cat. She has a beautiful short coat with classic gray tabby markings and white patches. And you can also visit Cats Featured Weekly at Petco in Santa Fe. There's adoption events Thursday through Sunday from 1 to 4 and at Tecatoo at Sambusco on 10 to 2 p.m. the first Saturday of every month, and you can look on the website at fandfnm.org.
My kitty cat, Audie, who's a tortoiseshell cat, is waking me up like at 5:30 in the morning now, insisting on being petted, and if I don't pet her, she's biting me, which she's never done. It's kind of cute, but it's annoying. Has that ever happened to you? I didn't mean just with a kitty cat, but let me get talking here. The New Mexico Museum of Art, ladies and gents, you should have seen the look she gave me. It's featuring The Wild Frontier. This is discussion. Listen to this. Down, 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 down. It's the Wild Frontier. Our territory at the threshold of statehood. I don't know why I'm doing a Texas accent. It's a conversation with renowned historians Hampton Sides, Mark Lee Gardner, and Paul Hutton, moderated by John Andrews. It's the first in a series of monthly Centennial Fridays. I don't know how a centennial can be monthly, but I'm all for it. St. Francis Auditorium, 5:30. Admission, you got to pay to get in. You call the Lensic, in case you're wondering when it is. It's Friday at 5:30. It's tonight. And the New Mexico Museum of Art is where it's at, and in the St. Francis Auditorium. The New Mexico Museum of Art has a new exhibit called Repeat After Me. And that's got a lot of different artists, including Polly Apfelbaum and Sol LeWitt and Frederick Hammersley. And it's one of those downtown museums that's free on Friday nights from 5 to 8. So you can go to the museum free, but if you want to go to the panel talk about the wild frontier, you got to pay to get in. What do you know about designer Maggie McNabb?
I just had her on the air, and she's a wonderful designer. She has this book called Design by Nature, and it is, even if you're not a designer, a really, really beautiful book. And
she graces the cover of the Posse Tempo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's a great designer, and she's a great theorist about design. And so there's things about shapes and dynamism and motion and elements and textures and all these things, and they're all based in nature, and they're all the elements that she uses and that probably everybody uses to a greater or lesser extent when they're designing, doing graphic design. And I think she's extraordinary.
Well, she's doing a book signing tonight for her book, Design by Nature, Using Universal Forms and Principles in Design. It's at 6 o'clock at the Collected Works Bookstore on Galisteo Street. I'll give you a phone number just in case you want it. 988-4226.
And tomorrow at Collected Works, from 1 to 4, Deborah Grossman and her Beginning Crochet Workshop. Students can learn the 5 basic stitches that are foundation of all crocheting. No prior experience necessary. And then on Sunday at 3 o'clock, local singer-songwriter Lori Fiorentino lights up Collected Works store, Collected Works Bookstore with a free, family-friendly set of empowering original music. And then on Thursday, the 19th of January, 2 authors are part of the shared reading series. Greg Sagemiller's thriller, Walking Earth, draws on his archaeological experience to craft a tale of espionage, murder, and double cross on tranquil Cedar Mesa. And Mark Ranney's book, Secrets of the Pueblo Universe, explores stellar connections to Pueblo ceremonial life. That's all at Collected Works Bookstore, 988-4226.
Great. Hey, there's a Santa Fe studio tour that happens in the summer, and they're calling for artists. Call for artists. Deadline for application, get this, is February 29th. What does that mean this year?
It means it's leap year.
That's great. One more day for me to avoid angry women and the IRS. You got to apply.
Tell me about the angry women piece, Robert. What are they angry about?
Probably my IRS forms. They all work for the IRS.
You think that's what it is?
I think that you should check out SantaFeStudioTour.com and see if you want to apply.
No, really.
I love when your voice gets that way.
Guess what else? Camp Love Wave! Saturday, tomorrow morning, right here on KSFR, Camp Love Wave welcomes back the controversial dimensional author David Icke. The first topic of the conversation is initiation. Happy New Year. It says Happy Now Year. That's cool. Camp Love Wave on KSFR.
I don't know too much about Michael Darmody, but I know the show House of Cards opens tonight, runs through mid-February at the New Mexico Arts Centennial Project Space on East San Francisco Street, specifically 54 1/2, Suite 2. There is a piece in Pasta Tempo. I just did not have time to read it. Michael Abatamarco did it, so take a look and see. Looks like an interesting show. Michael Darmody, House of Cards tonight through mid-February.
New Energy Economy is doing a film series called Getting Real, R-E-E-L, Local Solutions to Fossil Fuel Dependency, and it exposes the hidden truths behind our addiction to fossil fuels and provides ideas for local action to transition from dirty energy to renewable energy. So there's 4 documentaries with discussions, and they're all being screened at 7 o'clock at the CCA. And on Thursday, the 19th of January, The Last Mountain, and it's moderated by Associate Director of the New Mexico Wilderness Alliance, Nathan Newcomer, who's absolutely terrific. Don't know about the film The Last Mountain, but definitely check it out. There's a suggested donation, and the CCA is on Old Pecos Trail right here in Santa Fe and has a wonderful theater, so check it out.
That's cool. Speaking of CCA and movies, there's a good number of movies all over town today, so I'll run through some of them.
I'm going to Tintin.
I was
going to
say, Tintin is still out there.
Is it good?
14. I haven't seen it. It only got 2 chilies from our very pro-Tintin reviewer.
Really?
Beauty and the Beast is coming back in 3D. It's going to be interesting. It's Regal. It's the one you like, you know. Girl meets Beast. Beast turns into a man. She decides he's a Beast. They love one another. But it's now in 3D. Regal Stadium 14. let me see, there's the adaptation of Yasmina Reza's play Carnage with Jodie Foster and Kate Winslet, among others, over at DeVargas. The Artist is still a wonderful black and white silent movie. I keep urging everyone to go see at DeVargas. Thank you.
One of the main reasons that it's great, there's a lot of reasons it's great, but one of the main reasons is that they have a really great actor in it who is a Jack Russell Terrier.
I agree. That's Uggy, U-G-G-Y, the dog. Uggy the dog. And then there's a new movie with Dolly Parton and Queen Latifah. So there's two of my favorite actresses, along with Ursula Andress, Cleo Moore, and Allison Hayes. And they're in a
show. And Rosemary Clooney.
No, she's not my favorite actress, although I like her songs.
Ah.
Joyful Noise at Regal 14. I don't know much about it. I think it's like two... it's something about mixing mariachi and gospel, and they sing. So, but the fact that...
The great mariachi artist Dolly Parton?
I don't know, but I like Dolly Parton, and I would go see almost anything she's in.
She's very good.
Yeah, I like her, so I don't even care if it's a bad movie. She's made a lot of bad movies. So there's a lot of different movies out there. I think The Way is still playing at the DeVargas.
Oh,
playing
I hope
here
so.
Forever.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Semester Selecciones Exhibition, 52 high school students from the Visual Arts Department at New Mexico School for the Arts. And the opening reception is tomorrow, the 14th of January, from 3 to 5. It's at Burris Hall on the New Mexico University campus, Highlands campus in Las Vegas, New Mexico. So the Visual Arts Department, okay, the Visual Arts Department in New Mexico at New Mexico School for the Arts. I thought New Mexico School for the Arts was the... Why are they doing it in Highlands? Anyway, that's happening. For more information, Christina Gonzalez, 670-9579.
Chiaroscura Contemporary Art on Canyon Road is having a revolving winter group show. No reception, but it opens today through late February.
The show is on a turntable?
I don't know whether it's on a turntable. That's an interesting concept. Wouldn't that be funny? What do you know about the Living Tarot?
Nothing whatsoever.
The Oracle Theater. Remember the Oracle in the ancient Greek days? Wasn't it the one-eyed guy that you went to see? Or was that the Cyclops who was chasing those guys in that old movie?
That was the Cyclops, I think.
That's great.
Yeah, this is a great conversation. Go ahead.
Over in Farmington here. Oracle Theater presents this audience interactive improvisational theater with live music, 8 o'clock tonight at the Rail Yard Performance Space. Children are free, otherwise you got to pay to get in, and the proceeds benefit Global Relief Resources. 8 o'clock tonight, the Living Tarot, and you can call 920-0199 for information.
Santa Fe Artist Market this Saturday, and lots of sales, and let's see, 9 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon at the Rail Yard at the Old Borders, plenty of free parking. And so check out the Santa Fe Artist Market.
That's pretty good about free parking. Many of our museums are free to New Mexican residents on Sundays. So, you know, just keep track of that. The Museum of Indian Arts and Culture up in Camino Lejo has a number of shows that pay homage to Native art. There's a basketry art show from the collection currently running. There's also artifacts, stories, and songs depicting Southwestern Native American traditions in the show Here Now and Always. It's really inexpensive to go up there, and New Mexico residents get in for free on Sundays. And if you're over 60 and you're from New Mexico, you get in free on Wednesday. And that's similar with most of our state museums that are located in Santa Fe. Another one to mention is the Museum of International Folk Art, which is also in the Camino Lejo Museum Hill. And they're doing a show called Young Brides, Old Treasures. It's Macedonian embroidered dress. And they're also doing a folk expression in the face of natural disaster show and a folk art of the Andes. So there's a lot of options there.
Folk art of the Andes is a very nice show.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
That's good.
I lived in Peru for a little bit, and it was, for me, it was kind of nostalgic because I'd gone to a bunch of those festivals.
Oh, wait a minute. This is about Peru?
The Andes are one of the...
I thought
the Andes comprise several countries, including Peru.
See that? I thought this was Raggedy Ann and Andes. Anyway, here's something to go see.
Robert, you have...
There is a show at the Governor's Gallery.
Underdone yourself.
On the fourth floor, called Between the Lines, Culture and Cartography on the Road to Statehood.
Yeah, we just did a show on that yesterday as well.
So what do you know about it? Have you
It's a terrific show, and the curator of it, whom we had on yesterday, Dennis Reinhardt, is great. And you can go on to actually my podcast site at santaferadiocafe.org and check out yesterday's show and listen to that and also the design show. But it's a nice, I mean, I like maps. And there are maps there going back to the 16th century and up to the present and all kinds of maps. And they're beautiful and interesting. And it's worth seeing. Fourth floor Governor's Gallery.
Wow, okay, there you have it.
State House, Roundhouse, Santa Fe.
Wow.
Capital.
Down in Albuquerque, because I think so much of this theater group, Tricklock, is presenting more than 20 shows with the Revolutions International Theater Fest. It's running through the end of January, so check it out, tricklock.com. Great show. It's one of the reasons I like to go to Albuquerque. They used to bring it up here, but I don't think they got enough people to go to the shows to keep it going here. The traditional Spanish market is calling for artists, Hispanic artists. You can check out SpanishColonial.org or call 992-8212. Also, the Santa Fe Art Institute is seeking applications by New Mexico artists who are interested in attending a couple of workshops, one of which is called Verbal Communications, the other which is Internet for Artists.
No. The deadline is long over.
Well, it looks like it's still running in the PASA thing, so they...
Okay, well, the deadline was last week, and the workshop is this
week. Well, that makes sense,
because
the show is, like, in 2 weeks, right?
Not this weekend, but next weekend is the
okay, then that's got to come out. Sorry. And they're looking for performers for the Santa Fe Bandstand. The deadline there is mid-March, so... email info@outsideinproductions.org if you want to play on the bandstand. I love those summer bandstand shows. So.
Yeah.
Good. All right. What else do you need to know?
What else is going on? We got another 6 or 8 minutes.
Did you get to go see Shoes for the Santo Niño?
No. Did you?
No. I had to work last Friday during the Friday afternoon show, but there's a nice review of it in the Pasa Tiempo today. James Keller got to see it. Let's pitch some musicians who are working so hard and for tips around town. Tonight, at the Cowgirl, there's Drastic Andrew. 8 o'clock, progressive rock, small cover.
Hey, don't forget Salsa at the Lodge every Friday night. I think there's a dance class at 9 and then salsa until after midnight.
That's good to know. At the Tin Star, it's Vanilla Pop. They're still at it. They do these great 40s to 80s music. In fact, they probably do some of those terrible songs from the 70s that you would like to hear.
Uh-oh.
What are you talking about? That's, some of the stuff's great.
Yeah. There's some good Michael Jackson. There's some good Funkadelic. That kind of stuff is
what
always
good. What
about
Everybody's Doing a Locomotion? No, huh?
That's in the other category.
Vanilla Pop, 9 o'clock, Tin Star, small cover. Vanessa, which now has a small dance floor, has the Attitudes, Blues and Rock, 7 o'clock. That's tonight. Let's see what's going on Saturday night. Okay. Chispa at El Mason. John Gagan Jazz Trio, 7:30. No cover. El Farol has a flamenco dinner show at 8 o'clock. You got to pay to get in. It's followed by the Attitudes, playing blues and rock at 9. Call for a cover.
Hey, I forgot to mention, I'm just going to interrupt you for a second. On January 18th, which is Wednesday at 5 o'clock at Garcia Street Books, Tom Crawford is going to be talking about his new book of poetry, The Names of Birds. And we did a show on that the other day, and he's wonderful. And it's a very nice book of poems. So check that out at Garcia Street Books.
Is it about birds?
In fact, it is.
How nice. Get this. Wednesday, you want to go to a lecture at 6 o'clock? Go to the George O'Keefe Museum Research Center for Visualizing Invisibility, Abbott Thayer and Camouflage. Maggie C-A-O, you think that's, how do you pronounce that?
C-A-O?
C-A-O.
Cow?
Okay, that's, sometimes we mispronounce names, we don't mean to.
I don't know.
6 o'clock, Education Annex. It's very inexpensive to get in. Visualizing invisibility. What would you do if you were invisible? Be honest.
I don't know, I'd have to think about that. I would definitely go places where they didn't think I was and listen.
Would you be in, like, the men's locker room?
No.
Because I could be there if you were going to show up invisible.
I could just visit you. I wouldn't have to be invisible to visit
you. You'd get into my house? This is what you would do?
No, I would in a state of full visibility, I would knock on your door and say, hi, Robert.
No,
because I don't think that's an issue.
Nobody here. I haven't been on this show in 6 months, and now we see the real side coming out again. First of all, ladies and gents, she's up to 3 a.m. listening to songs from the 70s. Number two, she's just
that
as much
was
said,
that was four
if invisible,
years ago.
She would come to my house to visit me.
I didn't say that. I said visible.
Would you tie me up?
Nope.
Because I'd see the rope, right?
No, it's because I wouldn't come to your house invisible. I would go places... I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
You wouldn't tell me if you were coming to my house. I'd have to put, like, flour on the floor so that I could see your footsteps.
The only way I would ever come to your house...
Yes.
...is...
Yes.
...visible.
Okay. Well, I remember that.
Thank you very much.
All right. I'll be invisible.
On to even more interesting subjects.
What would you do
if you were invisible?
I wouldn't go out on a cold day like today. I would try to make sure that evil deeds were punished. I would have great fun, like... getting even with bullies, and I'd like wait for a crime to occur, and then I'd catch the guy that was burglarizing a house, and then I'd pretend to be a ghost at night in somebody's house. That would be fun.
You've thought this out.
Like, I'd go to the El Dorado Hotel if they're having like a big dance party, and I'd be like, I'd like make the plates fly in there, and I'd be like, why are you in my house? Then I'd be exhausted and I need to relax, so I'd probably go up to the 10,000 Ways, wander over to
into the women's tub.
You said it, not me.
I could see it in your eyes.
But I said I would do all these other good deeds first. What are we talking about this for? We're trying to talk
about
the arts.
You're the one who brought it up.
All right. What do you know about Anderson and Rowe?
Please tell people about that.
7:30 Thursday night at Lenzic. They're going to be doing, it's the Santa Fe Concert Association. They're duo pianists. They're going to do Stravinsky, Brahms, what's that guy's name, Rachmaninoff?
Mm-hmm.
Other classical people. 7:30 Lenzic. Got to pay to get in. 988-1234. It's a Thursday night concert at 7:30. And oddly enough, the Best of Broadway is at La Casa Senna that night, 6 to 10. And Kathy Faber's Swing and Country Bands at La Fiesta Lounge that night, 7:30. Thursday night at Tiny's is Joe West and Friends, 8 o'clock. And Thursday night at Vanessa is the Burt Galton Jazz Trio with Glenn Koster, 7 o'clock. A lot of different things happening that night. Nacho Mendez, one of my favorite... shall we say, pan-Latin musicians, is going to be doing a gig at La Boca at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. La Boca's are now in Marcy Street, right?
Yeah, they're wonderful. Yeah, wonderful
she must
food.
Be in the corner or something.
Yeah, she's. I've heard her play there. The Enjoy Cuban Salsa Band is at El Farol tonight at 9:30. The Bus Tapes are at the 2nd Street Brewery today, starting at 5:30. Santa Rueda with Carlos Mora at the Oddfellows Hall from 6 to 9. And Sultana Dancers with Sadakwa at the Pyramid Cafe from 7 to 8:30. This is all tonight. There's so much dance. The Ancianos Senior Dance at the Eagles Club from 1 to 4 in Taos. Flamenco Fridays with Julia Chacon and Inspiracion Flamenca at 9:30 at La Boca. That's tonight. Lots more, but it's just about time to go. Robert Knott.
You're kidding.
You hear that music?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, that's Cuban.
It was invisible to me.
You mean inaudible?
Well, either way, I couldn't hear it.
Robert Knott is with the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's the education reporter.
Can you believe it?
He writes from time to time for the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday arts magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican. And he sits in for Rob DeWalt. He used to do Speaking of the Arts all the time. He left us. And the wonderful Rob DeWalt took his place, but he comes back to give me a hard time and to grace us with his lovely presence.
What presents? I ain't bringing you no presents. What do you think this is, Christmas? You mean presents like P-R-E-S and the way it's spelled the rest of it. When do you want me to come back again? Can I come back for St. Patty's Day and do Danny Boy?
What do you think this is, anyhow? You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web.
I'm going to see. I'm tickling her now. She loves it.
At KSFR.org, podcasting at SantaFeRadioCafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services.
Let me brush back your hair, though.
You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at Facebook.com/RadioCafe.
Hold my hand.
My email address is...
She likes it.
He's totally on the other side of the table, ladies and gentlemen. My email address is RadioCafe@KSFR.org. Please write a letter anytime. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by, I don't know what you're grunting and
you're cold. Let me warm you up. Listen to her. Her voice details everything, ladies and gents. Don't believe her.
Don't believe him.
She'd come to my house if she were invisible. You all heard it.
Hasta la vista, everybody. Thanks. And we'll see you next week. Martin Luther King next week.
Oh, that's right.
All week.
Monday is the holiday.
Ciao.